Welcome all of you here on this blustery day. It's somewhat windy and cool out there, but good to be here in a warm building with warm hearts. We're going to be looking here for a few moments at the subject of honor. So we're on the honor system here. What I mean when I say that we're on the honor system, we usually reference that with respect to keeping our word. As the saying is supposed to go, a man's word is his bond. We have to come to understand honor and the importance of it. I want to begin in the book of 1 Peter. So please take up a Bible now and open to 1 Peter. And we're going to see here in the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, how it is that the Apostle Peter has much to say about this all-important subject. He's going to be talking here about the value of honor and how it is that as God's people we should be characterized by honor, defined by honor, clothed and crowned with honor, true honor, and we have to give honor where it is properly due. So over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin with verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and we're actually going to look at two different sections here within the second chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now let your gaze go down there to verse 11. Verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, Peter begins here by talking about our new station in life as Christians, as true children of God. We have undergone a transformation, a metamorphosis. We have been accepted into the house of God. We have been integrated into the very structure itself, so that when others see us as Christians, ideally they're supposed to be getting a feel for what the house itself is supposed to look like, the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because Christians are a part of that house of God. And just as we do our best, generally speaking, to make sure that our own homes, our own place of residence is decent and in order, so too we can make application with respect to the house of God. Now, in our houses, we would not really long abide a leaky ceiling or doors that are coming unhinged, paint that is peeling or cracking, mold setting in, boards that are poisoned by dry rot, pipes that drip water, sockets that have no electricity running through them, or a heating unit, especially this time of the year, that is somewhat defective. We're going to see to it that that is fixed up straightway, right? And so too, as Christians, we want to be certain that we are contributing to the beauty and the orderliness and the functionality of the house of God, because we all have a role that we can play. Each and every one of us have a part to play. We have to know where that is. And we don't want to in any way serve as a distraction, wherein the master of the house, the Lord himself, might see fit to replace us. And since we are building material for the house of God, which is a holy house, a spiritual house, God has also determined that we live holy lives and that our conduct be honorable here in this world, worthy of honor. For while there are indeed many houses built by men, there is but one house built by God, and it is a most magnificent and marvelous house, planned by God from all eternity. Let that sink in. And this house is to exalt and glorify the maker and builder, so that all the world, ideally, would come to understand that God is in heaven above as they look here at the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the finest institution here in this world. And we want men and women to be incorporated into this house as well. Our conduct is to be honorable in this world. Verse 12, very clear. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, God is calling out to them. He is trying to reach out to them. We want to see it where they reach back. But you see, we're often the only Bible that this world will ever read. So what type of lives are we living? Will others want to be converted as well? I think that's the essence there of that 12th verse. We are to live honorably and in turn bestow honor so that others can come to appreciate that. Verse 17, honor how many people? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And here I think we come to a precept, a commandment that admittedly could be puzzling, even with respect to those of us who have been Christians for a good number of years. If we are to honor all people, and if we are to honor the king, what do we make of this situation then when people will behave very badly? Or the king himself may be a rather reprehensible king. So I think it's important to make clarification. Honor and respect can still be given in light of the fact that we're still talking here about human beings. And so we want to behave humanely towards our fellow human beings. For after all, they too have been made in the image of God, though they might be failing to live up to that image. And honor can still be given to the one who is in high command because of the office or the position that he holds, even though he might prove to be repulsive. This does not mean that we have to honor all of their actions, because many of their choices, many of their policies, some of that legislation could well be downright sinful. But we still respect them in light of their office and seek to be cooperative while they're there in power. You see, because their power is derived from who? It's derived from God Himself. And so God always comes first in the life of a Christian, so we respect the order that He has given us. Well, the word honor means, according to the Free Dictionary, number one, high respect as that shown for special merit, esteem as in honor shown to a noble laureate. Number two, a good name or reputation, a source or cause of credit. Number three, glory or recognition, distinction. It can speak to a mark, token, or gesture of respect, a military decoration, a title conferred for achievement. Number four, high rank. And it goes on from that there, but we get the idea. As we talk here about that word honor, though, I want for us to understand that it can come from basically two sources. We could talk about authority, and authority can come from God or it can come from men. And so too is it with honor. It can come from God or it can come from man. When man's wishes do not conflict with God's wishes, I'm going to suggest that there can be harmony between the two. Now, that might surprise some, but really it shouldn't. That union is there. I want for you to look over at Luke, the second chapter. In Luke chapter 2, we have the narrative here when Jesus is but a boy, 12 years of age, he is a child, And he, together with his family, happened to have come down here to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Passover. And you know how this runs here. Mary and Joseph lose track of the boy Jesus. Well, you talk about a heart attack for parents. You've got it right there. Maybe especially so for a mother. Now, she understands that this is the Son of God. This is a very special boy. But this is now the maternal instincts coming out in her. And she is alarmed. And these are moments that parents would never, ever forget. And you could just sort of picture how a lot of this would unfold. Now, I thought he was over here with you. Well, no, I thought he was with you. Well, let's go check over here with some of our other family. Have you seen so-and-so? No. Let's go and do some hunting now. So they head on back after a day's journey. Well, let's read over here in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" She takes it all very personally. "Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor, look at this, in favor with God and men. So in this context here, honor is coming from both directions. Favor is derived from both directions. Here was a boy who was subject to them. Jesus was obedient to his parents here in all things. And let me pause to point this out here. If that is so with the Son of God himself, boys and girls today, should we not learn from that? We can't do any better than Jesus himself. And Jesus is the Word, and so of course he's going to honor that Word. To honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, even with those in the world, even with those who are not officially Christians and who may not officially go to church anywhere, even at that, generally speaking, they would like to have a son or daughter who will be respectful and who's going to be helpful, who's going to try to listen to them, not be unruly, not be a little drama act. And so you can see here, by the example that Jesus is setting, he's paving the way for an excellent reputation. So there is honor here between both God and men. But what if man's wishes will conflict with God's wishes? Ladies and gentlemen, then we're going to have to choose one or the other because you cannot have both. Is it going to be God's honor that you pursue or man's honor? I'm going to give you two passages that help to bring that distinction there to light. The first is over in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Take a moment to go to Luke 16, where Jesus used the illustration of a man, a steward, who had been wasting his master's goods. And so he was called to give an account for that, and he was going to be put out of the stewardship. But this basically had to do with a lesson that was targeted at the proper use of our resources. And the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, just wanted to hoard all of that there to themselves and not use it for God's purposes. So they are offended at the end of this illustration as Jesus delivers it. For he says there in verse 13, Luke 16, 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." But the Pharisees were all about serving the almighty dollar. And so it tells us there in verse 14, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. They just mocked him. What do you know? You don't have the foggiest of what you're talking about. Jesus isn't just going to take this idly. He said to them, verse 15, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Let that sink in. What is highly esteemed, highly honored among men, how does God view it? It's detestable. It is wretched before Him. It is just repugnant, horrid, foul. So you can see, when man's wishes contradict God's wishes, this is how God sees it. There in John chapter 5, we have our second passage illustrating this. John chapter 5, verse 41. John 5:41. Jesus said, "I do not receive honor from men." But you see, he had been growing and increasing in favor with God and men. But he says here in this context, "I do not receive honor from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" There was honor that came from God and honor that derived from men. And these two were polar opposites. They were contradicting each other. To seek one was to snub the other, and vice versa. And so you see, yes, we are to honor all people. Yes, we are to, in honor, give preference to one another. But honor is first always to be directed towards God. And if we are shirking our responsibilities, if we are seeking popularity here, if we're compromising the truth of God, God sees all of that. And while you might receive tons of praises here in life below, that will be the extent of your reward. For God will not honor you in heaven above then. Well, we understand that God has to come first. But there are roles that we sustain here, given by God, in the family unit. And we have to be mindful of all of these. And that takes us to one of the most famous statements of honor in all the Bible. You know what that is? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Now, we all have a father and mother, or we've at least had that. I still have mine. You may have lost yours, or you may still have yours. But let me tell you, when we're talking here about our parents, we have a special obligation to them. I have a special obligation to my father and mother that you do not sustain to my father and mother. You have to be there for your own. I have to be there for mine. And honor is to be had there in that family unit, which means that time and care and affection and attention is to be extended. Sometimes, yes, that can be a challenge. Life gets in the way. But never, ever forget who brought you into this world. And never, ever forget the debt that is owed. You think about all of the countless hours that have been expended in your upbringing, in your raising. Let's be there for our father and mother. Honor is to be shown based upon one's age. We get that. That's a foundational principle for all society. Leviticus 19, verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." So says the Almighty. You might recall, and this has been several years back now, but there in the news, There was that report about a girl in Miami, Florida. She had crashed her bike because she was high on Xanax pills. And she was very rude to the judge during her day in court. When he had said goodbye, she said adios, and she gave him the birdie and uttered an expletive. So with that obscene gesture to the judge, and as she was trying to walk off, the judge had the bailiff to bring her back. Bring her on back over here, please. Did you just say that? She said, yes. And he said, I hold you in contempt of court. And she was given 30 days in jail. Now, the jail period was later vacated, but she was very tearful the next day. And all of that made national news. Obvious. This was more than just an older man here. He was a judge. But the point is that honor was still to be shown. And this girl was disrespectful. She was arrogant. Now, hopefully, the only time that we're going to appear in court is because we're serving jury duty. But as that judge enters in, what does the bailiff say? All rise, all rise. The honorable so-and-so is now presiding. Honor is to be given. It's to be shown to the elderly. It's to be shown to civil authorities. It's to be shown to father and mother. But most especially, as we've stated, it is indeed to be shown to God. Let's look over at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, there in verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Malachi 1, 6. A son honors his father. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. We are supposed to be giving God what? We're to be giving Him our best, not any less. God is invisible, but He sees all. Do not think that you can get away with anything. And here the Lord is pointing out a tidbit of irony. I mean, they wanted to look good in front of the high rollers of high society, but God is just getting the scraps, the leftovers, the mere pocket change. And this can abound in applications. Are we going to dress up a lot during the holidays? Sure, I get that. We dress up for family members. But then do we dress down or dress less than our best for God? There is no dress code found in Scripture. I get that. But you see, clothing can communicate. It can be a reflection of what happens to be there within our hearts. And misplaced priorities can manifest themselves in that way. For many, it might be like this. They can become somewhat defensive of family members who are living in sin. And so as those family members might come to church services, oh, you have such a one there in the pew who's just crossing his fingers saying, I just hope that the preacher doesn't touch on this particular pet sin that belongs there to my family members. Let me tell you something. I fully understand that the pulpit is to be a place of dignity. And we do not go out of our way to be belligerent or abrasive. But the truth has to be preached. Even as we say there within our prayers, without fear or favor of men. In other words, we are not swayed by their praise, nor are we swayed by the intimidation that they might seek to show. God has to come first. He is to be honored above all. Honor is always going to be connected with our name. I want to close by looking at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 there in verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1. A good name is to be selected. You want to have a good name? That's a good endeavor. Proverbs 22 verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now I get that a high price tag can be attached to precious metals. But let me tell you right now, where you get in life, it's always going to be connected with what type of a name you have. Character. Reputation. That's what we are. You see, if you have a good name, it can take you places. If it's a bad name, it's hard to go anywhere. We understand that concept when it comes to commerce and economics. We all happen to have a credit score. Banks know about that. It's attached there with our name. It's fixed to our name. If our credit is good, what's the bank going to do? The bank's going to give us a loan. But if not, forget about it. It's just not really going to happen. Now let me ask you, is it the number or score that they are really concerned about? Or is it the name behind the number? We know the answer to that. It's the name. Is this person going to be good for it or not? Is he timely in his payments of his debts? Or will we have to send the bill collector after this person, hunting for them, knocking on the door? The Lord understands this concept as well. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give to you what is your own? Will we hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord? It's time that we took all of that very seriously. Let us use our health and wealth and our time for God's glory. Let's bring honor unto Him. Let's be a vessel fit for honor. Because honor is what we're supposed to be. Honorable. Seek it. Pursue it. If you're not yet a child of God, we encourage you to become one this hour. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. Let's make sure that we be part of His household, the church that belongs to Him, as living stones being built up that spiritual house. Heaven can be yours, but obey the gospel today. If we can assist toward that end, come to the front while together we stand now and sing.